Good day, and welcome to the 4SC Annual Report 2017 conference call. Today's conference is being recorded, and at this time I'd like to turn things over to Anna Needle and Jason Loveridge. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator, and welcome from my side as well. It's our pleasure to have you on today's conference call and for C key developments in Q4 and full year 2017, as well as our outlook for 2018. With us today is our CEO, Jason Loveridge, who will provide you with respective information. Following his presentation, we will have a Q&A session in which we will also have our Chief Development Officer, Frank Herrmann, participating. In the press release related to this conference call, which we published earlier today, we indicated there's a presentation available for download on our website. You may find this document in the Investors and Media section under the point Investor Information in the submenu Conference Calls and Webcasts. The presentation will support the comments we make today. However, you should also be able to follow our call even without the slides in front of you. Before I turn it over to Jason, I would like to briefly remind you that during today's conference call, we may make projections or estimates regarding plans and objectives relating to our future operations, products, services, or future financial results, or assumptions underlying our relating to any such statements, each of which constitutes a forward-looking statement subject to risks and uncertainties, many of which are beyond our control. So actual results could differ materially depending on a number of factors. With this, I'd like to turn the call over to Jason.
So thank you, Anna, and welcome to our conference call. As Anna mentioned earlier, we will be referring to a presentation available on the website. So I would ask people to initially start on slide 2 of the presentation and just to bring to your attention the standard disclaimer. Moving straight on and starting really with slide 3 in the presentation entitled 4SC at a glance. Here it's just a summary of the current state of the company. So our focus is cancer. This is our core focus, and our expertise is in all orally available small molecules. We have three drugs currently in development called resminostat, 4SC202, and 4SC208. And later in the presentation, I'll go through each of these in a little more detail as to the stages of development and the markets that we intend to address. From a capital point of view, as you know, we're listed on the Frankfurt Stock Exchange. We have roughly 31 million shares outstanding with a market cap of around 250 million euro. At the 20th of March, 2018, we held 37 million in cash. And this is sufficient to see the company's operation through into 2020. Our shareholder structure is largely institutional, with around 85% of the company held in institutional hands and around 15% of the company owned by retail investors. We have 48 people employed in a single center in Munich. And our business model is really to focus on bringing drugs to market in indications and in territories that we believe we can address ourselves. For larger indications or territories, we will partner with other companies, and we see that potential in all of the three drugs that we're focused on in our core portfolio. If I just ask you now to turn to slide 4, In this slide, we simply summarize the review for 2017 and what we've achieved over the past 12 months or so. At the beginning of 2017, we outlined to the market a three-year strategic plan, which would see us develop these three drugs and bring our first drug to market. And to enable us to execute effectively on this plan, we completed a successful capital raise in July of 2017, raising 41 million euros from both existing investors as well as new investors. I think our share performance has been good in 2017, and you can see that highlighted on this slide. And just to address briefly the financials on the right-hand side of this slide, the cash balance we have already indicated is around 41 million euro at the end of 2017. The average monthly burn rate for 2017 was around 723,000, which was below the forecast that we guided the market to at the beginning of 2017. And that's predominantly a result of the deferral of expenses for both the ResMain and the Sensitize clinical studies into 2018 from 2017. Looking forward into this year, 2018, we expect an average monthly operational cash use of between 1.8 and 2 million euros per month. Funds we have on hand currently will see us into 2020, and any additional cash that we might receive through cooperations or milestone payments from existing corporations will add to this particular cash forecast. Moving now to slide five, this is the operational highlights for 2017. So I think it was a very positive year for the company, 2017, particularly for our first two programs in clinical development. In resminostat, we continue to recruit patients in the 150-patient ResMain pivotal study for cutaneous T-cell lymphoma, and we continue to expect recruitment to complete around the end of 2018 and to report top-line data to the market around the middle of 2019. We enrolled one-third of patients in 2017, and at the beginning of 2018, we completed a successful DMSB, so a Data Safety Monitoring Board, review of the study, and the study will continue as per the protocol. Currently, all centers are open, and we expect to complete recruitment on time. Resminostat is partnered for the territory of Japan with Yakult Honsha, who have been actively developing resminostat in different indications in Japan for a number of years. They reported very positive phase one data at ESMO in 2017 in biliary tract carcinoma, and we expect Yakult to proceed to initiate a phase two study in biliary tract cancer in Japan in the first half of 2018. With respect to 4SC202, we initiated the Sensitize study in PD-1 relapsed refractory melanoma patients in the last quarter of 2017, and that study is currently continuing on track to be complete recruitment in 2018. From a business development perspective, as we said at the beginning of 17, we would focus on three core drugs to develop and bring to market. And for the programs that we are not continuing to invest in, our goal is to monetize these programs through sale of assets or collaborative agreements with partners. And we executed successfully the first of these studies on a pool of preclinical KV1.3 inhibitors, which were licensed to Maruho, a Japanese dermatology company. We received an upfront payment from Maruho, and we expect to receive in excess of 200 million in milestone and in development and commercial milestone over the coming years, and eventually, when product come to market, royalty payments. Looking now in depth at each of the drugs that we are currently developing, I start with resminostat on slide six. The graphic here simply summarizes the clinical development program we have for resminostat, and a little bit about our lead indication, cutaneous T-cell lymphoma. So as I said earlier, resminostat is in a pivotal study, so this is the last study required for registration of the drug. Recruitment is currently continuing on track, and we expect that to complete in 2018 with top-line data to the market around the middle of 2019, filing our marketing application with regulatory authorities in the second half of 2019. If we see positive clinical data from the pivotal study, we would expect resminostat to come to market and generate first direct sales in 2020. As I said earlier, the drug is partnered in Japan with Yakult Honsha, and we expect Yakult Honsha to initiate a phase 2 study in more than 100 patients in biliary tract carcinoma starting in the first half of 2018. With respect to cutaneous T-cell lymphoma, I just want to highlight a couple of points with respect to this indication. Resmaine will be the second largest study ever conducted in cutaneous T-cell lymphoma, so it is a very important clinical study for patients suffering from this particular disease, and we believe that the clinical data that we'll obtain will be essential in terms of commercializing this drug in both Europe and the United States. It is an orphan indication, and we aim to gain orphan drug protection in all three relevant geographies, that's Europe, the United States, and Japan. Our goal in 2018 is an expectation to expand our current Resmaine study to include one or two clinical centers in the United States, probably in the first half of 2018. Importantly, the indication that we've chosen for resminostat in CTCL is the maintenance indication. So this is for the treatment of patients that have been stabilized on one other form of therapy. If resminostat is to prove successful in the Resmaine study, this would be the first time that a drug has shown to be efficacious in the maintenance setting, and to the best of our understanding, there are no other drugs in clinical development in either the United States or Europe for this particular indication in CTCL. Moving on to slide 7 and our second program for 4SC202, we see tremendous potential for 4SC202 in the treatment of patients with solid tumors. We believe that the drug will show best potential in combination with other drugs for the treatment of patients with solid tumors. And we initiated a first study in PD-1 progressed patients with advanced melanoma. This is the sensitized study. First patient was recruited into the study at the end of 2018, and recruitment has gone well in the early part of 2018. We expect to report the data from the first two cohorts of this study in the second half of 2018, and data from the third cohort early in 2019. The study will conclude in the first half of 2019. The second study that we envisage progressing 4SC202 into is in microsatellite stable gastrointestinal cancer patients. This is the EMERGE study. This is a very important study for 4SC because it will be the first time that 4SC202 is being evaluated in a patient population that is known to be unresponsive to checkpoint inhibition. We expect this study to start in the first half of 2018, and we expect to report the first safety data from this study in the second half of 2018. With early clinical safety and efficacy data in around the middle of 2019. The data from these two studies will be important in determining how we go forward with FOREST-C202 in other indications, and our first targeted pivotal indication for FOREST-C202 is in Merkel cell carcinoma. We aim to start our study in Merkel cell carcinoma at the beginning of 2019. And for other indications that we currently have under evaluation are illustrated in the bottom half of the slide 7. And we are currently evaluating FOREST-C202 in combination with checkpoint inhibition and other drugs for solid tumor triple combinations. And our goal will be to start one of these clinical studies towards the end of 2018. Moving now to slide 8, and our final drug in development, FOREST-C208. FOREST-C208 is the earliest program that we have under development. We're still in the preclinical portion of development. So currently ongoing are formulation and preclinical toxicology. All of these programs we expect to complete in 2018 and initiate the first study in patients at the beginning of 2019. This would be a dose finding study, and our goal here is to advance FOREST-C208 into a pivotal study, an initial pivotal study in advanced metastatic basal cell carcinoma at the beginning of 2020. Obviously, for both FOREST-C202 and 208, the potential of these drugs go well beyond the targeted indications for which we believe FOREST-C can bring a drug to market. So that's for FOREST-C202 Merkel cell carcinoma and for FOREST-C208 advanced metastatic basal cell carcinoma. And we believe that conversations with third-party companies will advance through 2018 and 2019. In advanced metastatic basal cell carcinoma, we believe this is an indication that can be addressed by FOREST-C. And here, the target is patients that have relapsed or progressed on current therapy, which is Erivedge. Here again, as with FOREST-C202, our target is patients that have progressed on current therapies, which allow us to conduct very focused and rapid clinical studies in defined indications where we can bring a drug to market and where the data from these studies should facilitate partnering for larger indications in the solid tumor space that we do not expect to be able to commercialize ourselves. So, bringing now to my last slide, which is slide 9, this is just to summarize for listeners where we believe will be the key achievements for the company in 2018. We're very optimistic about our goals for 2018 and expect that the year will be as successful as 2017 has been for us. So for resminostat, our goal is to complete recruitment of the ResMain pivotal study. This would be a major achievement, and as I said earlier, certainly one of the largest clinical studies to be conducted in this population. We intend to expand the ResMain study geographically. That will be in the first half of 2018. And we expect our partner, Yakult Honsha, to initiate a phase 2 study in biliary tract carcinoma. For FOREST-C202, I think we have a very exciting program with a tremendous amount of information coming into the public domain, being published by the company at key cancer conference is in 2018, and also the publication of the first interim data from Sensitize in the second half of 2018. We also expect to initiate a number of other clinical studies in addition to Sensitize in Emerge in 2018, and we believe at least one of these will be the first triple combination study in collaboration with a new partner. On the non-core assets, we expect to do at least one additional partnering or licensing deal in 2018, which will add additional cash to the company and provide additional milestone payments over coming years. That would mark the end of my presentation, and I would open up the call now to questions, which I think will be handled by the operator. Thank you very much.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, you can press star 1 on your touch-tone phone. Please ensure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, that is star 1 for questions at this time. We'll go first to Jonas Pikulis with Edison Investment Research.
Hi, hello. Thank you for taking my questions. So on resminostat, so the first DSMB review, if I remember correctly, it was only safety data that was looked at, and there was no sort of efficacy or like overwhelming efficacy or futility analysis done. So will this be the same the case for the remaining DSMB reviews?
Jonas, yes, that's correct. The first DSMB was for safety only. There will be two additional reviews, the second after 100 patients and the final one when the complete 150 patients are enrolled. All will be for safety only.
Okay, thank you. And on Yakult and biliary tract cancer, so I think it's normal, like increased messaging and also from Yakult that this is sort of become as the lead indication. So is this the case, you know, because phase two trial is quite substantial commitment in terms of financials and also, you know, obtaining phase two data. So can I sort of think about it as a lead indication for Yakult now in Japan?
I think it's a very important indication for Yakult in Japan, and I think their decision to go forward into a large phase two study really underlies the potential of resminostat in this particular indication, as supported by the earlier data that was presented at ESMO. Yakult have presented to 4SC an extensive development plan. They are clearly committed to this drug in the longer term, and we expect more news from Yakult in 2018.
Okay, thank you. So going forward next then, for a C202, so obviously it's broadening the program. I just want maybe a specific question. So in early, probably, or first half of 2019, so you will have quite a substantial amount of melanoma data in melanoma. So I was wondering what will happen with this particular data. Are you going sort of to discuss with potential interested parties to actually carry work in this direction? Or, your primary focus will be on Merkel cell carcinoma?
So I think the decision to go into melanoma and also into microsatellite stable GI cancer is driven by a number of different points. So what we're interested in is trying to understand the potential of 202 in a broadest range of cancers that we possibly can. We believe melanoma is a very good tumor type to explore the potential of 202 in checkpoint progressed patients. And here it's in combination with a PD-1 inhibitor, pembrolizumab. In Emerge, we're exploring the non-responding population, and this is in combination with a PD-L1 inhibitor. And the reason we choose different both PD-1 and PD-L1 is so that we can establish the safety of 202 in combination with the broadest range of checkpoint inhibitors. And we believe that the dosing schedule that we use for 202 facilitates its use very broadly, independent of whether it's a PD-1 or a PD-L1 antibody and whichever type. In addition, within these studies, we will have extensive biopsy and biomarker data. So we will gain a lot of information on the effect on the tumor of 202 alone, as well as the effect on the tumor of 202 in combination with checkpoint. Obviously, this will give us a tremendous amount of information on how the drug works in patients and how it works in combination, the safety in combination with different types of checkpoint inhibitors, and we'll also get efficacy data. The decision as to where we go forward after these data are available will clearly depend on what type of clinical data we get from these particular studies. So I think at the moment we're very open-minded as to where we might take the drug forward based on data from these studies. What we are saying today is that we believe there is a very strong scientific rationale for the benefit of 202 in combination with checkpoint in Merkel cell carcinoma, and that this is an ideal indication for 4SC both commercially and scientifically to obtain approval for 202.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for the answer. Actually, it's quite clear now, so thank you. About those triple combination studies, and on I think the last slide that you indicated that the potential new partner coming on board. So just wondering what sort of how do you see the financial arrangements to initiate and you know complete those studies? Is it more like partner-led studies, or you would sort of co-finance the studies?
Yeah, that's a good question, Yunus. I think we have been working with some other companies for a period of time now. These companies have been evaluating 4SC202 in combination with their own drugs as well as with checkpoint and comparing the potential of 202 with other drugs of the same class. This work is all, of course, at this stage preclinical in appropriate cancer models. And the data from those studies have been extremely positive for 4SC202, and we're hoping that some of that data at least will be published at ASCO in June 2018. As to how we would interact with these companies going forward, that's ongoing at the moment, and I expect that we will come back to update people with that sometime in the second half of 2018.
Okay, thank you. I think this is all from me then. Thank you.
Thanks, Jonas.
We'll go next to Sayan Pakula with H.C. Wainwright.
Thank you. This is R.K. from H.C. Wainwright. How are you doing this morning, Jason?
Yeah, good, thanks. Thanks, R.K. Okay.
Couple of questions. So, you kind of gave us your comfort level with the way Resmetirom study is ongoing at this point in terms of enrollment. But you also said that you're trying to add additional geographies. So what geographies are you talking about, and, you know, how would these additional centers help in trying to get the trial, to completion, or at least to the completion in terms of enrollment sooner? If you know, is that possible? You know, how would all that affect?
Okay, so I think from a recruitment point of view, we're quite comfortable with the rate of recruitment at the moment. I think everything is on track. We are in discussion with a number of centers in the United States to add up to two clinical centers to the ResMain study. I think this also will obviously help from a recruitment point of view, but it also helps introduce the drug to U.S. clinicians and to help educate U.S. clinicians about the potential of resminostat, in particular in the maintenance setting. As you know, there are already two HDACs approved in the United States. No HDAC inhibitor is approved in Europe. So this is obviously in the progressive patient setting as opposed to the maintenance setting. So I think the clinical environment in the United States is a little bit different to Europe, and I think it's important from the point of view of broadening the potential for the drug and educating clinicians ahead of commercial launch about how the drug would be used. So this is the rationale for going into a number of clinical centers in the United States.
Okay, thank you for that. And then for the Japanese partner, Yakult, to initiate their phase 2 biliary tract carcinoma, what needs to get done, and how will 4SC contribute to that study, or is it just completely a study which is run by the partner?
It's a study that's completely run by the partner. So there's no financial contribution from 4SC. Resminostat for the study is already in Japan, so there's no additional requirement for us to supply drug. Yakult are well advanced in terms of their clinical planning, establishment of centers, etc. And from our point of view, we get updates from Yakult regularly on their progress, but we don't contribute to the study other than we give obviously opinions as to how the study should be structured and the protocol.
Okay. Then moving on to the second drug, 4SC202. You said there would be an interim look into the sensitized study. So what sort of data should we expect from that interim look? And is efficacy going to be involved? If it is going to be involved, will you get a statistical hit from that?
Yeah, so the sensitized study is a 3-cohort study, and we expect increasing doses of 4SC202. We expect to report safety and efficacy data in the form of response rate in the second half of 2018 from Cohort 1 and Cohort 2. We would also expect to report any interesting biomarker data that comes out of those two cohorts as well. So quite extensive data package, at least on the first two cohorts in 2018.
Okay. And then, right now you're looking at melanoma, albeit in patients who have failed other therapies. But at the same time, we all know, it's such a crowded space. There is numerous molecules being tested for different stages of the cancer. So what is the grand plan for this? Is this just to get a proper validation of 4SC202 before you span out into other cancers? Or, is there an intention, serious intention, to get this all the way through regulatory folks for an approval in this indication?
So our stated intention is to bring 4SC202 to market in Merkel cell carcinoma. This will be our first pivotal study that we tend to initiate at the beginning of 2019. So we will bring 202 to market in Merkel cell carcinoma. As to other indications, I think these are still open to internal discussion and discussion with potential collaborators. There are obviously a lot of drugs being explored in combination with checkpoint, But what is clear from data that has come to light to date about drugs in combination with checkpoint is that it's important that the drug have a flexible dosing schedule and have low toxicity to be a very tolerable drug, because it's clear that a single checkpoint inhibitor on its own in naive patients gives a very limited response rate. The combination of two drugs in naive patients gives a better response rate, but still we're seeing between 40 and 50% of patients still either progressing or non-responding to a combination of two drugs. And so the potential in this space for triple combinations to give much higher response rates is something that we believe will be a key component of this area over the coming 2 to 3 years. And the potential for 202 to work with other drugs in combination is very, very significant based on its very high tolerability and the fact that it brings about changes in the tumor microenvironment which work extremely well with other drugs in combination. So it has very positive effect on MHC class 1 and class 2. It upregulates tumor-associated antigen. It promotes the T cells, activated T cells getting into the tumor, which are all things that you want to see to facilitate the checkpoint inhibition functioning in these particular indications. So I think other than Merkel cell carcinoma, we are currently evaluating at least 3 studies, which is why in the slide that we gave, slide 7, we haven't identified the indications for the solid tumor checkpoint combination or the triple combinations. And I think our goal will be really to be more definitive on the clinical development plan for 202 in the second half of 2018 once we see the initial data from Sensitize.
Okay. Thanks for that elaborate answer. And the last question from me is, I know you talked a little bit about upcoming data at ASCO, but I just want to make it, make it clear for myself. What sort of data should I expect at AACR and at ASCO?
So the data that we will present at these conferences is all preclinical in relevant animal models of various combinations of 202 with other drugs.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you very much, Jason.
Thanks, okay.
Again, that's star 1 for questions. We'll go next to Rediger Holzhammer with Red Herring.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yes. Thanks a lot for your presentation. Very clear. But still, I do have some questions, beginning on page number 5. You indicate that there is an upfront payment of $208 million with the Maruho deal. Can you show the time frame of those installments and what are the trigger points, because it's quite a significant amount of money.
So just to be clear, the $208 million was not an upfront payment. Payment was in single-digit millions. The $208 million is a mix of clinical development and commercial milestones, roughly half and half. And obviously, the clinical development milestones will require Maruho to advance their drug in at least one, but up to several indications. And obviously, the commercial milestones are dependent on getting one of these inhibitors to market. So if we were to look very roughly and assuming a clinical development program is successful, we should see a good proportion of these milestones coming to 4SC over the next 5 to 6 years.
Oh, I see. Okay, that's clarifying the statement. Thanks. On the next page, number 6, resminostat, you show that the pivotal study will be finished mid-2019. Do you already, or are you already in discussions with partners for marketing purposes?
So, yes, we have been approached by companies with respect to marketing in different territories.
Right.
Our goal is to bring this drug to market and generate direct sales for 4SC. Obviously, there will be territories where it's not appropriate that 4SC is the company commercializing the drug, and we do expect that we will have partners in territories. At the moment, we're not defining which territories those would be.
Right, but regarding the Japanese or the region in Japan, the only partner is Yakult Honsha, but all the other territories are still not defined.
That's correct.
Okay. But you are in discussions with other partners regarding, let's say, territories that 4SC might not occupy, and several. So, what are the territories that 4SC will be marketing themselves?
So, at the moment, we haven't reached a final conclusion on that. We have been approached by companies that have commercial infrastructure in both Europe and the United States, and those discussions are really exploratory and at a very early stage. I don't think that we will announce anything with respect to the marketing of resminostat until after the pivotal data is in the public domain. So this would be...
And you did not make any decision?
Correct.
Before?
We won't make any decision that will be communicated outside of the company.
Okay, but you are already in discussions by now?
Yes, we've already started work internally with respect to the commercialization, the value proposition, the commercial infrastructure requirements, pricing, and other such factors that we need to think about in terms of commercializing the drug ourselves. And we have been approached in a very early exploratory way by companies that are potentially interested in marketing resminostat. And I think we need to wait until we see the pivotal data around the middle of 19 to be clearer on the commercialization strategy.
Okay. Let's move on to 202. As far as I can see, the you still hold a lot of options open where you regarding the final strategy of 202, although you indicate that the Merkel cell carcinoma will be the indication that you will be pursuing in 2019 once you have the data. Is this also an indication that you will be build or that you try to market yourself, or are you partnering, or are you trying to partner it?
No, it's an indication that we would market ourselves, and one of the commercial reasons for choosing Merkel cell carcinoma is that patients suffering from this disease are treated by the same clinicians that treat patients that have CTCL. So with all of the indications that we've chosen, CTCL, Merkel cell carcinoma, advanced metastatic basal cell carcinoma, you know, these patients have, they're treated in the same hospitals by the same groups of clinicians, and enables 4SC to invest in a single commercial infrastructure that can be exploited across the whole portfolio rather than building, you know, one infrastructure for one type of drug, one type of cancer, and then trying to do that separately. I think that's not a sensible approach for a small company like 4SC. So we have a strong commercial logic for the selection of the three indications that we have chosen as the initial targets for each of our three drugs in development.
Okay, so that's way how you see some synergies.
Absolutely.
Okay. Good. Now that's, that completes my questions. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
And we have no further questions in queue.
Okay, if we have no further questions, then I think we will stop the call now. And remains for me just to thank everybody for dialing in today. Obviously, we believe we have a very exciting 2018, and we expect to announce some very significant news flow in 2018, particularly for 4ST202, and we look forward to calls later in the year. Thank you very much for your attendance.
That concludes today's conference. We thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.